Blog Talk Radio.
Big Daddy Listen was a man to fear. You have Steve Van Buren and Otto Graham. Johnny United had the arm of a Superman. We had Charlie Trippi and Gino Marquette. If you're searching for a champion, they're your best bet. Wish I could quarterback like Donnie Lou Jack or even Sid Luffin, as a matter of fact. Do you remember Red Brains, the Galloping Ghost? He could do a 95 running coast to coast. You had Norm Van Brocklin, a real great player, so swift with his moves that he could be mayor. Y.A. Tittle, Allie Madison, hey, I remember all those guys from back in the day.
It's the sport of king, better than diamond rings. That's why we're here to sing football. Sunday in the snow, referees whistle blows. Weekend warriors toe to toe. Football, 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 football.
Hello, hello, hello. How's everybody doing?
Coming at you with a new episode of CMT Firestorm, where we bring you the best and brightest in the world, everything to do with football. And as always, our opinions are completely, completely biased. I'm your boy, Big Mike. We have a panel today coming at us from the Lone Star State. Big Tex.
What's going on, Tex? What's going on, my man? Make it a good one tonight. Last one for about a month.
All right, all right. Also coming at us from the Windy City, we got Chi-Town Mike. Big Mike, what's going on, man?
Man, what's going on, fellas? Yeah, like Tech said, let's make this a grand semi-finale until we back in another month.
And coming at us, the mouth of the South, Clausel Mathis. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. What's good?
All right.
I'm looking forward for the show, man.
All right, all right. As you guys might have heard, we are going to be taking a month-long hiatus. We're going to come back in about a month to give you guys more updates. I don't know. We might be doing a little bit extra stuff. I don't know. Like I say, you know, when we get back, we're going to be better than ever, as always. So let's go ahead and get things started for today. We got to, you know, even though it's been a bit, you know, it's the off season right now. We've had a lot going this past week. Let's get started with some recent stuff. I don't know. Would this be considered NFL or college? I don't know. We'll save that for last. I want to save that for last. It's probably going to take the longest. Let's get started with a rumor Tex just threw at me, and it's been reported by a couple of sources that Josh Freeman will be traded to the Oakland Raiders and that he's going to be starting. You know, as a Raider fan, I mean, I don't know how I feel about this. I mean, you know, we kind of thought this might happen last season, you know, before he went to Minnesota. You know, Freeman, I don't know how to feel about this. I guess this is meaning that we're not going to quarterback. So,
Y'all going to still draft the quarterback. Y'all still going to draft the quarterback. It's just he's
in the first
round? Yeah. Y'all still going to, but he's just going to compete with Josh.
Oh, no.
Who would be the reason for bringing in Josh Freeman then? That'd be insane. That'd be insane.
The competition. Well, no,
yeah.
Just to have
you're
him
not...
there.
Nah,
that is what
they're
gonna
nobody, you're not bringing in Josh Freeman to win a job. You're bringing in Josh Freeman because the job is his.
No, they're not sold on Terrell Pryor, so they're going to get a guy in the draft. They're bringing Josh Freeman to warm up, get him ready to compete against
dude.
The guy coming
that
in so he can beat out Josh Freeman. That's what's going to happen.
Nah, that doesn't make sense.
No,
that,
you don't. You don't. You're not going to.
That makes a lot of
because
sense.
What? Because why are you? Why are you? Because Josh Freeman sucks.
Exactly. Yeah. Why would
you? I mean, well,
let me hear.
You're not
in Josh Freeman is because you basically don't want to get a quarterback this season. You want to get something else, and you need a stopgap kind of guy
yes.
between this season and next season.
Oh, okay. I thought Josh Freeman was the stop guy from now until the quarterback they draft in this year.
Well,
until next season, yeah, but not this season.
Oh, okay,
I mean,
you're saying they're going to wait till next season. They're going to try to get Winston next year. Okay.
Well, Winston, well, that's another, you know, and that's, I'll bring that up later. But,
okay.
Because I don't know, you guys might have heard, he said he's going to stay till, I think he said he's going to stay two more years. Well, he said he is.
Yeah, he probably will.
But, like I said, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about his move. You know, I've been hearing a lot about Sammy Watkins. You know, the Raiders thing about taking a wide receiver with that first pick. I could be mad at that. I don't know. I mean, I wish I would have got to see more out of Terrell Pryor. I'm kind of disappointed in that. I thought he was going to become, you know, at least a decent guy. He showed a lot of promise. But, you know, then he just kind of started, you know, falling apart.
Yeah, Kelly and Mike, I'm with you on that, man. I think, you know, Terrell Pryor, man, like you say, he showed some growth, man. I think he's going to be something, you know, give him some time.
But then he got stuck. That's why, that's why they're bringing in quarterback.
Yeah, he got super stuck. So, I mean, like I say, maybe this might be the spark that he needs. I don't know. Like I say, I'm gonna reserve judgment until I see how this thing plays out. What do you think about it, Tex?
I know Greg Olsen is there and he worked with Freeman in Tampa. It's still kind of head scratching to me, you know, coming from McKenzie and Dennis Allen. I think they have to know better. I don't get it. Why not just, you know, you'll have a shot at one of the quarterbacks. Why not just draft one, you know, right here in the draft? Or, I mean, I understand you have to get a guy. If they sign Freeman, it's just a stopgap. They're not. I guess they don't think they're going anywhere this year. I think they have like 60. It's either 69 or 75 million in cap money, but you know, having all that cap money isn't a license to spend. They ideally probably want to retain some of their own guys, some of their own free agents. But I'm not, you know, the Josh Freeman is, you know, he's kind of like Andy Dalton. You know, he has four or five. Yeah, he is, Clausell. He has four or five huge games. And then 11, 12 games, like, damn, where's the quarterback? Who they got playing quarterback? You guys want to deny that, Clausell, but that's the first thing you're going to point to. The first thing you're going to point to is going to be like, oh, he threw 27 touchdowns and he threw 25 touchdowns. But, you know, it's like half of them coming in four games, so.
Yeah, but I think I would still give him an opportunity. I still think he's going to do okay. But I'm not going to lie to you. That game, when he was with the Vikings, he didn't take advantage of the opportunity. Hopefully he can take advantage of the opportunity in Oakland. I suspect that he will be good. I don't think he'll be a stop guy. But at the same time, is he the caliber of a a Drew Brees, a Z Peyton Manning? Of course
no,
not.
No,
he'll never
no,
be
no,
that.
No, 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 at no, best, he's average. At best, at best, at best, he'll be average. At best, he'll be average.
You know, that's fair to say, but I think he'll do well. I think he'll do well. He'll be like Carson Palmer was when he was at Oakland.
He won't be that good. He won't be that good.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think he will be that good. I think he'll be like Carson Palmer was when he was at Oakland.
He ain't going to be that good.
He'll be like that.
No, he'll be worse than Palmer.
No, he'll be that good, but he's not going to get you. He's not going to give you a championship. No, he's not.
He's going to be really, really bad. And they had to lean on Carson Palmer, which is what they didn't want to do. And Palmer played. He actually didn't do bad considering that he had to be the guy for Oakland, and that's not what they wanted. But if they asking Freeman to be the guy, if everything else goes to hell, man, he's going to be horrible. Or it'll be worse than Carson Palmer.
Hey, you know, Tex, you said
I'm rooting for Freeman.
Do you guys think that maybe they're doing – I mean, you got to look at the division with Denver, Kansas City, and San Diego in there. I mean, could this just be like, okay, we know we're not going to the playoffs, so let's just try to get the team right. You know what I mean?
It should be like we have to get a quarterback.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody else got one.
Yeah, and the Raiders haven't had a quarterback in years.
And here's the thing. Here is the other thing, and we can probably talk about that too later on. But the Western divisions in the NFL are 1-8 in terms of schedule difficulty. Guess who's at the top? Oakland.
Yeah, I think they got.
What will you need to compete? I mean, you're gonna have to have a quarterback. I mean, you have to have one. You want to win in the NFL, get you a quarterback.
Well, you know, speaking of the draft,
I was going to say, hey.
You know, it definitely – yeah, go ahead, Mike.
I know it's kind of off the little – since we're talking about quarterbacks, I'm surprised that the Raiders ain't, you know, be interested in looking at Michael Vick since his name popped up. I think the Bucks and the Jets have been rumored two teams that are interested in Vick.
Mike.
His name is out there.
You try to resurrect Michael Vick and Vince Young like every 5 seconds, bro. Let them die. It's over for them. They're bankrupt. Rick. Nobody wants
them. But he's better than Josh Freeman.
Michael Vick don't need to come to the Oakland Raiders.
I think they'd be better off with just drafting one because you're in the hole. The Western Division is the best division, the best divisions in football right now. Really, really strong divisions with really strong quarterback play, except for the Rams and the Raiders.
Now, like I was going to say, speaking of the draft, for what we understand, the Houston Texans are enamored with pretty much as they're saying it's going to be either Blake Bortles or Johnny Manziel. And Teddy Bridgewater's kind of fallen out of the picture. From what rumors are saying, like I said, we don't know what's going to happen on the draft, but, you know, like I said, just from what everybody's saying. How comfortable would you guys feel if your team had the number one pick drafting Blake Bortles, who we really – don't know that much about with the number one pick in the draft?
I mean, I'm not sold on him, man. I've seen him play two times. And, I mean, alive, that is. And I wasn't really that impressed. When he played the better defenses in the American Conference, he struggled, you know. He played against USF, he struggled, you know. So I would take Teddy Bridgewater over him. I don't know what people were thinking about taking him over Teddy Bridgewater. I saw them both play against USF, and USF was knocking Teddy Bridgewater up and down the field. They were knocking him out, but he was still accurately completing passes. I would take Jameis Winston over both of them, if I had to take a choice between Teddy Bridgewater and Bortles, I'd take Teddy Bridgewater clearly.
Yeah, now, you know, Bortles, I mean, he did come out and win his, they did win their BCS game, so, you know, We got to
get with a horrible defense. Yeah, Baylor has a horrible defense.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, gotta give credit where credit's due.
I'll give him his credit. I'll give him his credit. I guess for this one.
Yeah, Tex, what do you think about Bortles?
Think he's a fit with certain teams, like a power run game and a deep ball passing game. You know, some you know, pound the ball, play action, go deep. You don't want to run no West Coast offense with him. He's not a precision passer like that. So I think he's a fit for certain offenses. I don't have a full grasp on what Bill O'Brien wants to do in Houston. It could be a smokescreen. I know it makes sense for them to be interested in Bortles over every other quarterback, but, you know, I'm not sure who they really want. I'm not sure who they're going to take, but I do think they take quarterback first. I just don't see
how they're not going to take much Denzel with that number one pick if they're the quarterback. I don't know. Mike, what do you think?
He's going to come in like in a tough spot, man, and you got a chance to get Javion Clowney and team up with J.J. Watt. Ooh-wee, that's going to be something.
You win with a quarterback.
Tough, man. Yeah, you know,
did you win one last year, though? What about this past year, though?
Hey, remember Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson ain't no quarterback.
He ain't all pro. He
doesn't have to be all pro.
He wasn't in the top 10 quarterbacks in the league this year. He wasn't a top 10 quarterback this year.
I call him a top 10 quarterback this year.
Yeah, are you crazy, Clemens?
Oh, easy, easy.
He won.
Easy.
It ain't easy. No, of course he's better than Josh. Shit, I don't even want to talk about that.
Much better than him.
Yeah, it is. Wilson in the toughest division in football in so many close games. You think they didn't win because they didn't have Russell Wilson?
I mean, nope. You can't. His talent is coming to the point where you can't deny it anymore. Like I said before, it was kind of like, okay, this guy's on a defense, but I mean, he makes the throws, man. He makes the throws.
Seriously, how do you think Seattle wins when they play San Francisco? Colin Kaepernick's throwing two or three interceptions, and Wilson is throwing how many?
Yep.
And it ain't like San Fran don't have no defense.
Yep.
It ain't like they ain't feeling the defense. It ain't like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yep. And I think when they broke down his game in the Super Bowl, I think they said he had like one of their better games that a quarterback has played in the Super Bowl.
He had a real good game. And the thing about Russell Wilson, and this is when I look at him, I get frustrated because, you know, I'm like, man, you know, why can't no defense just, you know, kind of unravel him, kind of really get after him, make him turn the ball over? It's like he's immune to turning the ball over. I mean, it's, you watch him play. I mean, it seems like he never turns the damn ball over.
Yep.
I'm like, goodness, somebody, you know, he's always doing the right thing with the ball, and sometimes to a fault he misses some plays. But the guy just, you know, he keeps the ball, man. He just holds on to it, and it's like, my goodness.
I think also with Russell Wilson, I think that if you get him a good tight end, he's going to be even better. Get him a good safety net tight end, and I think he's really going to flourish.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's somebody that's on there. I definitely have him as a top 10 quarterback. He's somebody
Harvin right there, yeah, definitely.
But back to the Raiders, man. Not the Raiders, but Houston. I don't know. I have a feeling it's Bortles, but I don't know. I have no idea because there's history there with Bortles, O'Leary, and Bill O'Brien. So,
that's true. Sue didn't even look at it like that. Yeah. That's true. Cool.
Okay. But in your opinion, you still have you have Teddy Bridgewater as your top rated quarterback.
I think
right?
Bridgewater. To me, he's ready right now. But Manziel has the most upside.
And you agree with that, Claudio?
Yeah, Manziel has the most upside. I mean, but if you need the sure thing, I would take Teddy Bridgewater.
And you agree with that too, Mike?
I'm still kind of – I'm maybe leaning more toward Teddy Bridgewater. I think he might be the better – it might try to be real good next level. Something tell me Bridgewater might be something, maybe a little bit more better. Maybe because he's taller.
Oh, yeah, but that's what everybody just said, yeah. I said,
yeah, I'm kind of going with Bridgewater. What Clydesdale was saying.
Like I said, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with that pick. You know, this draft is kind of one of those drafts where, it's weird because Clowney is clearly the clear-cut, number one. And
yeah,
he's the one guy who we know is not going to go number one almost. You know, it's weird. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I've never really seen a year like this. Maybe when Calvin Johnson came out and the Raiders took Jamarcus Russell. You know, and everybody knew Calvin Johnson was clearly the number one rated player.
Well, here's the thing. People are trying to get these QBs,
Yeah.
They're trying to get them.
I was going
to
say.
And I think to an extent, I think if you don't have one, I think you got to get him. Until you get it right, man. I mean, you have to.
Some people still go back to that theory of the defense again since. It was a defense domination in the Super Bowl, and Russell Wilson, he's good, but he's not on Peyton Manning's level yet. But look at what Seattle did. Look, like I say Houston could probably follow the blueprint of just building that defense. You get Clowney. I'm just saying, man. Look what St. Louis is doing with their defense.
Mike, how long did the Bears have a defense and didn't win a Super Bowl?
Same thing. And the Ravens, it's probably.
Well, no, the Ravens won, but last year the Ravens offense won. Nobody's saying don't have a defense. I'm just saying, man, you better get your signal caller or your coach is fired.
Because Cincinnati Bengals, which, I know you was on about them, and a lot of people thought maybe this has been their year to get far, and the thing that cost them is they didn't have the quarterback. So you true on that.
Nope, got a defense, got everything on their team, no quarterback going nowhere.
Everybody's definitely got to be looking at them next year
adding another receiver since it's a deep receiver draft. They said they had get a good receiver in this draft to add with AJ Green and then that tight end they got. Man, that's gonna be something.
They just need the quarterback. They got talent. They need Andy. Look. It ain't no what if they get this and that. They just need Andy Dalton to play like something. To not have four or five huge games and then disappear for the next 11 or 12. That's all they need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me ask you guys a question. When you say you're going to get the quarterback, I've been kind of looking at the NFL. Besides getting the players more money, does free agency really work in the NFL? To the point where when's the last time we've ever seen, besides this Peyton Manning situation, which was a rare situation, when's the last time we've ever seen a big-time free agent, be on the market in the NFL? Like compared to basketball or baseball where you're going to see, A-Rod maybe get on the market, this type of guy, you don't ever see that in the NFL. It seems like these guys, they either stay with their teams or, they might get traded somehow, but you never see them reach the market. You understand what I'm saying?
That was Charles Woodson back with when he got the Packers.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really knew that Woodson was going to was going to kind of revitalize his career like that in Green Bay. Like I say, folks, a lot of folks thinking he might have been done, though.
Yeah, and he came in Green Bay, and by the element of being a safety.
It's just like, I think, like I said, you know, I think, like Tech said, I think if you have to get your quarterback, I think you got to get him in the draft, and you got to get him when you can get him because,
yeah.
You know, these guys, they don't, you know, like I say, you know, besides Peyton Manning, I mean, you know, when's the last time, you know, I mean, maybe, okay, like I say, maybe, you know, a couple, you know, years ago when, you know, when Drew Brees left, you know, when he left San Diego, but nobody knew Drew Brees was going to become, you know, in the New Orleans. So it's kind of like, you know, with the quarterback, you got to get with, you know, you got to get what you can get, you know, because nobody's letting go of these guys, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's one of the things where if you can get a guy who you think is going to, you know, be a next level kind of guy, you got to go out there and get him.
I think just the nature of football, I guess, because they're more stringent on the salary cap and all the other stuff and non-guaranteed contracts, and then also you can franchise and all that type of stuff where other sports where they don't have as much restrictions and two other sports is more guaranteed contracts, and they have players where they can opt out of the contract and player free agency if they want to win football.
What you have to do is you just have to manage your cap space. You have to avoid, you know, first you have to draft well, like Seattle. And, you know, in your first and second round picks, you hit home runs. You understand what I'm saying? And then you have your fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round draft picks where Seattle just builds the team. And when it comes to a player in free agency, you know, you just have to decide, you know, how valuable is this guy to the overall, you know, to the organization. Can we go and get somebody else that can maybe do the job, eventually do the job just as good as him or surpass him? Or is this a guy that he's a staple. We have to hold on to him. He is a building block. I think you have guys like that, and you have guys to where you can kiss them goodbye. Like, okay, we can go, find somebody else. I don't pretend to know what's going to happen, but, you know, you got the Seahawks with, you know, Golden Tate and like Michael Bennett, you know, they can go get another body to rotate in a pass rush. You know, they can replace Michael Bennett. They can replace Golden Tate. But can they replace somebody like a body type like Red Bryant playing defensive end at 6'5", 330? Nah, they can't. You know, it's just like the Patriots. You know how they notice how they held on to Jerod Mayo. You know, they didn't let him walk. And then they locked down Vince Wilfork. They paid Ty Warren. You know, they paid Logan Mankins. They paid their tight ends. You know what I'm saying? Wide receivers walk. So it's just a thing where you just have to, you know, organization just has to, you know, make who's priority. Who can we win with? Who can we win without? Simple as that.
Yeah, because I was going to say, since you mentioned about Seattle, you know, Seattle was trying to acquire Jared Allen, but they just didn't have the cap space to, I guess, get his contract. But since he's going to be a free agent, I guess, you know, if they lose Bennett, they can go after him.
They don't have to go after Jared Allen. They'll just go draft their guy. Tell you that right now.
Like I said, it's funny too because it seems like the talk on all the quarterbacks like towards the end of the season was kind of dying down. Now you're starting to see mock drafts that have all these guys coming back in there again. You know, especially in that first part of the first round. Like I said, you know, now you're starting to see mock drafts that have, you know,
Bortles, Manziel, Bridgewater, you know, all going in the top 10. You know. Maybe, you know, might have a Derek Carr or somebody going in the later first round, you know. And, like I said, I still think it's going to be a very quarterback-heavy, you know, heavy draft. Like, it's especially, like I say, in the first round. it might fall off, you know, after, you know, you get through that first two tiers of guys. You know, some of those second-tier guys really didn't play that well, especially in the Senior Bowl and whatnot. You know, guys like Todd Boyd, Logan Thomas, Stephen Morris, really didn't show up. But like I said, I still think you could definitely see, you know, four or five quarterbacks drafted in the first round.
Mm-hmm. So you think
Carter's gonna be up for first round pick, which, you know, he didn't really do too well in that senior game, Senior Bowl
game.
Carter, some people thought his stock might drop.
Carter actually played pretty well in the Senior Bowl. It was pretty much the other quarterback season. They didn't really play that well. Carter actually played decent. Like I said, yeah, I still think that he's going to go in. I still think he's going to sneak into the first round. I mean, like I said, you know, I've watched enough of them. Like I said, I wouldn't be opposed to having him in the first round, you know, of my mock draft. Like I said, I'm going to do a new mock draft pretty soon. I'm probably still going to have him in there. Depending, I got to look and see where everybody's going to go. You say you want to bring in some callers, Claudio?
Yeah, let me bring in Steve here. What's good, man?
What's going on?
Hold on,
what's up, man? What you gotta say, yo?
About the draft.
Yeah,
cause y'all talking about I mean, I'm not. Y'all like Bridgewater? I'm not a fan though, but that's y'all, man. Y'all see something I don't see, but you know, he I don't know, man. I'm not.
Well, let's
I don't
this.
Think
let's
he's
say this. Instead of looking at what we like about him, what don't you like about him?
What don't I like about Bridgewater? Well, I don't know, man. I haven't been impressed. Y'all could be impressed. I mean, who did they play? Who did Louisville play?
Yeah.
All the years he's played at Louisville, who have they played?
Now, folks, I want you guys to all know that this caller could be a little bit dated because Teddy Bridgewater did turn University of Miami to go to University of Louisville.
All Teddy Bridgewater is a Jacory Harris that had good coaching. That's all he is.
Well, he's
a Jacory Harris.
That's all he is.
What he was supposed to be.
He's going to go to the NFL, and he's going to be a bust. And I'm telling you that right now. And it's not because he didn't go to the University of Miami. It's because
that's a whole lot of
that Louisville did not play anybody. Tell me one good team that Louisville played all the years he was there.
When they played Florida, that defense was pretty good.
Florida,
they beat the defense was good.
That defense wasn't good, man.
Yes, it was. They had like three, four guys drafted in the first round that year on that defense.
They got three guys that might get drafted this year from the same defense.
Those guys just didn't care in that bowl game. When you don't care and you play a bowl game, you get blasted.
I don't know. They cared, man. They were playing hard.
Yeah, you got to get credit. Louisville came in and took it.
Alabama didn't care in their bowl game, but they played. They cared. Florida cared.
I remember one year where Alabama didn't care in their bowl game. They got the doors blown off of them. When that Utah or somebody like that.
Yeah, Alabama didn't care. No.
But I'm just saying, bowl games, I don't judge bowl games as the reason a quarterback is good or bad. I mean, if that's the case, then Blake Bortles, you know, he should be the number one pick. It's not about bowl games.
Might be.
Man. It's about your body of work versus good top talent. And he only played.
That's what I'm saying. But why I say I take Teddy Bridgewater because the better defenses in the American Conference that he faced, the Rutgers, USF defensive line, he played very well against.
Name any of them that has been championship contenders.
No, none of them have been championship contenders, but I'm saying the better defenses in that conference. When they were knocking him around, Teddy Bridgewater, it didn't rattle him. He still was very, very accurate with the ball, and he still played pretty well. Whereas Blake Broyles, when I saw him against the best defenses in the conference, he seemed like he struggled.
That's why I would pick
Teddy Bridgewater over Blake Broyles. Now I'm a Jameis Winston fan. I think he's better than everybody. But if you're talking about just the guys in the draft this year. I would take Teddy Bridgewater.
Hold on. Let's stop talking about Jameis Winston. We're not talking about any other year. That's insane.
All right. But Clauzel,
I know
what
you're
trying to do, Clauzel. It's not going to happen.
Clauzel. Yeah.
I got to ask you something.
Yeah.
You just said Blake Bortles versus Teddy Bridgewater. I got to ask you a question. So how good is Louisville's defense?
It's not that bad. It's all right. It's
bad.
All right.
Okay.
It's all right. It's all right.
If Teddy Bridgewater is such a great guy that y'all claim he is to be, you're up 28-7 and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
How come you don't score no more points except one time in the fourth quarter and lose 38-35? And Blake Bortles comes down the field on a game-winning drive. Please explain that.
I can't explain it. I mean, Louisville didn't come to play a game. You know,
they
came to play. They got beat.
They got beat by UCF
and
Blake Bortles. That's all I got to say.
Yeah.
Y'all
Tell me Blake Bortles is better than Teddy Bridgewater.
Huh?
Tell me Blake Bortles is better than Teddy Bridgewater.
I know, but I think he'll end up being a better NFL quarterback, if you ask me.
Really? Blake? All right, whatever, man. All right.
Hey, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. You know what I mean? I'm telling you. Number one pick, we all know, is – I mean, don't be surprised if Blake Bortles is number one pick. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, because you got to think about it. If Teddy Bridgewater, and see, that's the thing with Teddy Bridgewater. He's not, it's like any other place in society, and we're going to bring the racial angle in here. You know, Teddy Bridgewater is not head over shoulders better than Blake Broyles and Johnny Manziel. That's the problem right there. He's just a little bit better than them. He's not head over shoulders better than him. And if he's just a little bit better than them, Blake Bortles is going to get the pick. They're going to pick Blake Bortles over him.
I got to ask you another question. If Johnny Manziel is your quarterback or Teddy Bridgewater, you have him. You have either one. The game is on the line. Who do you take?
Johnny Manziel looks like right now, man.
All right.
You take Bridgewater?
I think Bridgewater, like I said, he's the best QB coming out. Manziel has the most upside, you know. It's all about who the team likes, who fits.
Yeah, I could agree with that. Like I say, I mean, just for me, I don't know. I like Manziel, man. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like I say, I wasn't a Manziel fan, but the way he came back this year and to me made itself better really impressed me.
But see, this is the thing right here. This is the thing right here with Manziel, and I think I kind of disagree with you in text on here. You say he's gotten better in the pocket. I don't think he's necessarily got better in the pocket.
Sure.
I think he's very good. I think he's very good. He drops back. He keeps his head down the field. But it's not like he drops back, processes the information really quick. No. Listen to me. He drops back. He keeps his head down the field. He can't find anybody. Then he flushes out the pocket. He keeps his head down the field, and he locates his receiver. Whereas he's not good at staying in the pocket, processing the information, and delivering the ball. The play usually breaks down before he does it.
If he's flushed out of the pocket, you don't stay in a pocket that's collapsing.
Yeah.
That's what you're. That's
yeah, but he's not.
No,
but what I'm saying is he can't read it quickly and deliver the ball.
If the pocket starts collapsing, they roll out and keep your head downfield and try to.
Wait, I got you. You're right. But what I'm saying is he does that a lot. He's not dropping back. Reed is it really quick, delivers the ball. He's not there yet. That's what I'm trying to say. He drops back, reads it. He can't read it from the pocket, so he has to flush outside the pocket and then deliver the ball.
He did it in Alabama 2 years in a row.
No, he did not. That's what I'm saying. No, he did not. No, he didn't. He did exactly what I was telling you. He was flushing out the pocket. Alabama was having him running all over the field.
He dominated that school.
He dominated, but he didn't dominate strictly from the pocket. He was doing a lot of extended plays.
Last year, his first year starting, he just took off. This year, he kind of hung back. He hung back, and he realized the ball travels faster through the air. I don't know how y'all didn't see that, man. That was the first thing he noticed.
I don't think he can process. I don't think he can read it quickly. Like with Winston, he drops back. He reads it quickly, bam, the ball's gone.
Why are you always bringing up Jameis Winston, man? Goodness.
And then Bridgewater's that, too. Bridgewater can do that, too. So that's why I would take Bridgewater from that standpoint. From the pocket, I would take Bridgewater over Manziel. But if you're talking about star power, elusiveness, things like that, you can take Manziel. But they're going to take Manziel because that's what they want.
Yeah, Manziel can play though. He,
He can play.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Exactly.
I don't
need
All right, let me put you on hold here, Steve.
I can't take
away from
either one of them.
Hold on, Steve. Let me put you on hold here. I'm about to put our favorite person on. What is good, Watley? What is good?
What's up, people? What's up? What's up? What's up?
What's going on, Watley?
Hey, sorry.
Let's see. Right now I'm having an issue with positions versus teams needing certain players. Like, for example, first four teams in the draft, as of right now, now that can change, but as of right now, the first four teams are the Texans, the St. Louis Rams, Jacksonville, and Cleveland. Okay? Now, the first two teams are not going to pick a quarterback. If they do, they're crazy. Because the Texans need to go on and do Clowney. That's the bottom line. First overall pick should be Clowney, and the Texans should take him. Second, the Rams, they got their quarterback. They don't need a quarterback. Their defense did.
Who's the Rams quarterback?
Wait.
Who's the Rams quarterback?
Let me finish. Can I finish?
Oh, no.
So the Rams don't need a quarterback. And because they don't need a quarterback, I think that they focus on their offensive line. Because they focus on their offensive line, I would say that they're going to go with Jake Matthews, Greg Robinson, or Taylor Levine or Lewine or something like that. Y'all know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
From Michigan.
Yeah.
I see St. Louis Rams going with an offensive lineman. I think the first place you even contemplate a quarterback is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I agree with everything everybody's saying about it's all about fit. And that goes to it's all about coach. And I just see that what's at Jacksonville right now, the better fit for the Jaguars would be Bridgewater. So as far as the first overall quarterback pick, I think it's going to be Bridgewater. And the first overall pick altogether, I really think the Texans need to go with Clowney. I do.
I agree with you, Tony, on Clowney. I would, too, for the Texans. That's just something. Mm.
No, I'll say this. Sometimes a need coincides. You know, you come up in the draft, a team could be, you know, they'll pick, and a need will coincide with a player, you know, that's there. That, you know, like, you need a quarterback so bad. There's a quarterback right there. You know, it's Houston. I think they should go Clowney. I think it just makes sense with the cornerstones on defense that they have. I think it makes perfect sense. But you know, also you got a new coach. You know, you got a new way of doing things, and you know, these coaches, a lot of them, they want their own guys. And with what O'Brien is doing, you know, they might get rid of Aaron Foster. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, a lot of these guys aren't a fit for what O'Brien is trying to do. So that face may change right there. And for that reason, that's another reason why I think, you know, just, you know, Clowney is an excellent fit. But they also need a QB. And it's the same thing with the Jaguar, who need a quarterback bad, like, man.
Yes,
like I can't even state how. I mean, they really like, but you know what else the Jaguars need? Yeah, but you know what else they need though? They need a pass rusher, They have no playmakers up front, no special playmakers. So it's just going to be interesting to look at because a lot of these teams getting caught at the top. They got huge needs in about two or three different places, and there's like big time players at each, and even the Raiders need a pass rusher. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know.
Was at the Rams. Sam Bradford is at the Rams. You may not think he's a great quarterback, but he is sufficient enough to where you don't need to take one in the draft, not in the first 10 picks.
Oh, no, I think it's time to move on from Sam Bradford. My boy, he told me, he's like, the more you put Bradford on the field, the more his ceiling drops. And I like Bradford. I liked him coming out of OU. I really did. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what the Rams do. Maybe they move down and stockpile picks. I have no idea.
I can't see them with the second pick picking a quarterback. I just cannot see that, especially with their problems on their O-line.
But I can tell you why they could choose to take a quarterback and just look around at the division. Colin Kaepernick, Russell Wilson, Arizona, even with Carson Palmer, they're going 10-6. So I can and with the pass rushes and the defenses in that division with the edge rushers, I can understand why the Rams would, if Manziel got past the top overall pick, I could, you know, like, okay, well, man, we got to play the Niners twice. We got to play the Seahawks twice. We got to play the Cardinals. Shit. We need somebody that can evade a rush. I can understand that logic right there, but I don't know.
That's why I say Cleveland picks Manziel. The reason why I say Cleveland picks Manziel is because the AFC North has some tough defenses with the Ravens, the Steelers, and Cincinnati's trying to build theirs. So you need a mobile quarterback to be able to get out of some of those rushes that those tough defenses have, and I think Manziel is a great fit for Cleveland.
Yeah, it's a smorgasbord, though, man. I know for sure they're going quarterback. I know they're going quarterback, Cleveland. They have it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think they'll go Manziel. I really do.
I think they will, too. I was going to say back to Jacksonville, Marie Jones-Drew, his future is murky with them, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with them. I think it's probably time for him to move on from them since they're going through, you know, a whole different change. You know, he's a Pro Bowl running back.
Are you suggesting that they might take a running back that high, Mike?
No, I'm just saying.
not in this draft.
I'm just saying what's going on in Jacksonville. I was just saying
it might not even be a bad go first round this year. Might maybe one. I don't know, but
the way I'm looking at it, top five picks. Clowney goes first. I say second. They'll probably take an O lineman. I don't know which one, but I think the Rams take an O lineman. I think Jacksonville takes a quarterback, and I think they go with Bridgewater. I think Cleveland takes a quarterback, and they go with Manziel. And Oakland is a toss for me because they just announced that they're going to go with what's his name, and start him. So if they going to do some dumb shit like that, God only knows what they call themselves getting in the draft.
Okay.
Come on now.
I want to ask you guys about one player real quick before we jump into something new. Now that we know that Kelvin Benjamin is going to be coming out in this draft, do you guys have him rated as a first round pick?
Uh, tell you what, I don't mind Benjamin. I'll take Watkins over him first. And if I'm and I you know who I really, really like over Benjamin and over Mike Evans is a guy at Oregon State. You know, why ain't more people talking about that guy, man? That dude, man, his route running is, let him get in the right system. Let him get somewhere like Green Bay or New Orleans or something. Watch.
I don't see a good or a tough need for wide receivers in the first 15, 20 picks. I really don't. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but right now I really think the first round needs to shore up offenses, defenses, and quarterbacks. I just don't see a lot of wide receivers going in the first round.
I know Watkins will go. Watkins will go. He'll go high. He's a playmaker.
I'm pretty sure
we're going to
see Watkins and Watkins.
He got that speed, too.
I think they're going to be gone.
Fort Myers.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, I think we're both going to see him, you know, go within the top 15. My thing with Benjamin, like I said, he's big. He has the size and he has the speed, but it's like, I don't know. It's
intangible.
The intangibles, no. Which I think Winston made Benjamin. He always was able to put the ball in the right place. So I don't see Benjamin. I think he'll be good, but he ain't going to be, you know, wow in the league.
By the way, I don't agree with you saying Winston made Benjamin.
Amen.
I know you wouldn't.
Amen.
I think it's the opposite. Nope. No, sir.
I think you need to flip that. I think Benjamin made Winston.
I've seen Benjamin flying through the air a lot of times making Jameis Winston look good.
You say so, man. Don't hate
you
me.
Haven't,
because
you haven't seen him
hate
fly.
Me.
He's literally flying through the air.
He know it's true. He know it's true.
No, Winston tells him. Winston made him a better player.
This draft
wouldn't even matter if he was out, man. This wouldn't even matter because he would have been the first pick overall, but it's all good.
Oh!
If anybody...
Would somebody put some tape over Clausell's mouth, please?
He would have.
If anybody has Winston's lawyer's information, I'd like to let him know that he has...
I know. Come on. Would someone please put out another sex scandal so Clausell will be quiet?
Man, something, this dude, I guess you might kidnap. I think you're going to try to kidnap Jameis Winston or something. You are on that point. Serious. But, like I say, I don't know. It'll be interesting. We got the combine coming up in a couple of weeks, and then pro day start first week of March. So we're going to start getting a lot of the draft stuff sorted out, you know, over the next month. Right,
of course,
now,
free agency is next month, too, so that's going to be super big of potential players
like
being released and cut and all that type of mess.
It's kind of like what I was saying earlier. I mean, who are some big-name free agents that you're really looking to see? I mean, I can't really think any big-name free agents that are going to be on the market this year.
Mike,
I guess
before this show is over, can you please discuss this crazy damn move that Oakland did with Josh Freeman? That is just boggling my mind. I don't know what the hell them people are thinking.
We talked about earlier. What do you think about it?
That is absolutely absurd.
Well,
so
I mean, what we kind of came up with is that basically he's going to be like a stopgap, you know, until next year, maybe, and, you know, until it, you know, they'll draft a quarterback next year.
But, okay, to me, that just says we're giving up on the 2014 season.
Well, I mean, you know, like we said, you know, look at it, with between Denver Kansas City and San Diego is like where the Raiders really going to make the playoffs, really?
Nope.
San Diego,
you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, I don't know. If it works out,
Josh Freeman ain't proved nothing to me. Nowhere I've seen him so far. And I just, I went to bat for Josh Freeman, and he embarrassed the hell out of me.
Yeah, nobody believes in Josh Freeman besides Josh Freeman, his parents, and Clauzel. And that's about it. Nobody else believes in him.
Hey, Tony, when did you go to bat for Josh Freeman? What game was that you went to bat for Josh Freeman?
As soon as he left Tampa, me and Clauzel was both on the Josh Freeman bandwagon
until
he went up there in Minnesota and fell the hell apart.
He did.
He wasn't
he
ready,
did.
Though,
and
man.
I have to agree with
game.
You.
He wasn't ready, though, man. The coach was kind of – that man wasn't
ready.
You got to play better than what he played.
Yeah, you do. He messed it up. He messed it up. He did. You know, I couldn't say anything. I know Texas didn't know me that day. I couldn't defend it, you know. But I hope he does well in Oakland, though. I hope he does do well in Oakland. I'm rooting for him. I don't like the way they treated him when they kicked him out of here in Tampa. But it's all good.
Okay, but
I agree. Like I said, me and you were both on that Josh Freeman bandwagon. Josh got the raw end of the deal kind of thing. But then when he had the chance to prove that he was better than what they were making him out to be here in Tampa, he went up there and laid the biggest dud I've ever seen from a starting football player in the NFL.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
yeah,
that
did.
Was the worst performance I think I have ever seen by a starting quarterback.
Not much you can say about that, Clauzel.
No, I'm not saying anything. He's right. I'm not disputing that. I hope he does well in Oakland.
He won't. I guarantee you he won't. But look, though, let's get into what the hot topic of the NFL is right now. Well, NFL and college world. You know, everybody wants to talk about this. And here at CMT Firestorm, we give the people what they want. Michael Sam, defensive end for University of Missouri and SEC Defensive Player of the Year, has come out as a homosexual. He will be first homosexual in the NFL, openly gay. From what I understand, he represents all of the SEC. Because that's how they get down there.
Please. California is such a great place. Huh?
I mean,
California is such a conservative place.
Like I say, you know, California, we had a Kwame Harris, you know, and so, you know, he retired. But,
I resent that, Mike. Do not say he represents the SEC and everybody in it, because he don't represent me.
Well, he's the SEC Player of the Year, so that means he's the best.
I don't care.
He is cold.
So if you want to say one of them, I'm going to take the other code, because he don't represent me.
He's cold. He's cold. That means he's linked. That means he's also linked with the University of Alabama, because C.J. Mosley was the other code. So that means both of them are together. Now,
please.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, the thing about this, I mean, I got to be completely honest with you guys. I think that this is kind of a ploy. I mean, why would he come out with this right before the draft?
They were going to come out. His lawyer stated why they came out, and it was because he had already told his team, and then they had already got this video of him being in a gay club dancing with his shirt off, and it was about to break in the media that he was gay. So he wanted to get out in front of it before everybody else started talking about it. He wanted to just come out and admit it, and that's what
I mean. If it was that big of a deal, somebody would have said something. I mean, this is Michael Sam. This isn't Jameis Winston. This isn't Johnny Manziel. This is a mid-round guy. You know, he was a good college player.
But, I mean, really? You know what I mean?
But you know what?
I
the one thing I've said and the one thing I think is somebody has sit him down and somebody has explained to him that he can be a historic figure in the NFL whether he ever makes a great play or not. Because if he gets drafted as the first openly gay player in the NFL, that's George Washington.
That's
a great moment.
Like I said, yeah, that's what I said. I think it's a ploy on his part. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think that him and his agent, I think they set it up to come out like that. You know, I mean, like I said, if it was that important of a story, I mean, he told his teammates last year. You know, so I mean, it's, you know, like I said, I don't, you know, I just, like I said, I don't know. It's just something, you know, my spider sense is kind of tingling about this. Just, you know, like I say, right before the draft, right before the combine, you know, it's like, really, you know, knowingly, if you really thought that this could be a danger to you, knowingly that this might endanger your draft status, really, you really do this right before the combine. So, I mean, like I said, that's at least what I said. What do you think about this?
Well, what I wanted to get into was last week you guys were all on the bandwagon of this ain't going to be big deal. It ain't going to be a big deal. Everything is going to be accepted. He's still going to go where he's supposed to go. I disagree. In America, we are still a homophobic nation. Yes, things are changing, but they have not changed to the point of where a guy can say that he is openly gay and just open arms be accepted in the biggest sport in this country. That is not going to happen.
Who's going to stop him?
America's going to stop him.
So you think that if he gets drafted, if people aren't going to go to the football games?
Absolutely. Not only are they not going to go, they're going to picket the football games. They're going to stop buying things that are advertising with him on it. They're going to – you got to understand the Christian right in America. It is the largest sect of political activists in this country. And I promise you, they hold some real clout and some real power.
You don't think that every gay person in America isn't going to be wearing a Michael Sam jersey for whatever team he gets?
It doesn't matter. For every one gay person in America, there are 1,000 Christians.
Just because you're Christian doesn't mean you're anti-gay. It just means that
okay,
that's
but I promise you, if you are a devout conservative Christian, you are anti-gay. Why? Because you think the Bible says homosexuality is a sin.
Well, it's not,
and you
it's
are not going to go
it.
Against God's law for man's law.
That's what the Bible says. It's not even thought involved in it. That's what it says in the book. But I mean,
I'm
like
just
say,
telling you what's happening. And anybody
yeah,
that
people
is
really go
a
by what
devout
the Bible says?
Christian is going to be against it.
I think people are. What the Bible says?
Right, I think people take parts of the Bible that they. You know, that they want to use to manipulate others. You know,
I disagree.
Well, it's like don't be gay, but yeah, go ahead and smash the neighbor's fine wife or
right.
You know,
don't be gay but be racist. You know,
yeah, like
stuff
like that. I, in just moral compass aside, I just think wherever he's a fit with his skills, I think that's where he goes. I think that supersedes mostly, in my opinion, supersedes mostly anything. I mean, everybody's on notice. You know what I'm saying? Whether you're a team that, you know, that probably an organization that probably wouldn't welcome gay athlete into the locker room, and if you are an organization that would welcome openly gay teammate into the locker room. So I just think everybody is on notice right now. We have to see where he goes. I think he goes where he fits
schematically, and maybe he sticks. Regardless of if he's gay or not, he's still limited physically for the NFL. So, a lot of teams, you know, some teams see it like that. But, nobody wants to live a lie. So, I mean, you know.
But this is a publicity nightmare for the NFL. And the reason why it's a publicity nightmare is because all 32 teams, all 32 head coaches, all 32 owners are going to come out and say, yes, we are all supportive. Yes, we are all for him being who he is. But then they're going to go back into their offices, they're going to go back into their locker rooms, and they're going to say, he ain't coming to my damn team. And they ain't going to say that out loud. They're going to be in front of the televisions talking about, yeah, we're all for this, da, da, da. But then they're going to go right back behind closed doors and say, pick somebody else.
Well, that's always a nightmare, though, Tony. I mean, we've seen this happen before. This has happened in the NBA. I mean, you know, this happened with Jason Collins, and you know, he hasn't played in the league since he came out, and nobody's, you know, like I say, is he even news anymore?
Well, since he came out,
you know, like I said, everybody's like, we're happy for you, we're proud for you. That's a great thing. I'm so glad that you were brave enough to do it. But then you ain't seen him playing, have you?
That's what I'm saying. So I mean, it's not. I don't think it's going to be a nightmare for the NFL. I mean, like I said, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think that he's going to get drafted. I think he's going to go to a team, and I think he's going to face the obscurity. Like I said, he's not a top player. You know, unless something happens to him, you know, unless, you know, like I say, you know, maybe they might scrutinize his game if he gets hurt or something like that. But I just think, like I said, I mean, this is a guy who's, where we got him going, third or fourth round, you know, at his
not
highest.
Gonna happen.
Well, I mean, like I said, you know, that's consensus on him is a fourth. I think a fourth later round pick, you know. And I mean, like I said, I think, you know, it is going to be what it is. I don't, you know, like I said, I think that this is more of a ploy on his part to try to help himself out than anything else. I don't, you know, like I said, I don't.
How can you say that he's trying to help himself out by coming to be gay? That is not helping him. I guarantee you that.
It's not.
He is not going to get a bigger contract by saying he's gay. There is no way.
It has his benefits, though.
Michael Sam right now
has his benefits.
It's super benefits.
I don't see the benefits. I really don't.
We're talking
about Michael
Sam. Okay,
but the thing is, what if he doesn't? It's as simple as this. They can say, oh, well, you know what, he just didn't have a great combine. Next thing you know, he doesn't go into draft at all. Then his whole life was being football, and he ain't in the league. What is he going to do then as a black gay man in America?
Like I said, first of all, this is not a guy who anybody was expecting to come out and have a long NFL career.
I think it's beneficial towards him, and I'm going to tell you why. And I'm going to have to put a racial angle on this. And I know you guys are going to laugh, but him being gay and black is a privilege in comparison to him being black. All right. You're more likely to get higher in this world as a black person, a black male, if you're gay than if you're not gay. An employer is going to be,
wow.
I'm serious. Am I serious? Because you're not as threatening.
You know,
you're not as threatening.
I understand what he's saying.
You're not as threatening.
Yeah.
So he's going to be the face. He might be the face. I mean that's what they throw showing him on ESPN. You know, if you're gay, disrespectful, you're perceived as non-threatening. It's going to be beneficial for him. He's not going to have a hard time getting the job.
I can get that angle. And you know, you have other black quarterbacks in the league that aren't gay. You know, you have that with, say, like a personality or somebody like Cam Newton versus somebody like Russell Wilson, who's not threatening at all. And it's not the knock Russell Wilson. You know what I'm saying? It's just
okay,
you know,
but in America, gentlemen, you can. It's easy for you to say that, but that's just like telling a black man, you know what? If you call yourself a Republican, you can get farther in politics than you'll ever get as a Democrat, because all the niggas are over at the Democrats, but ain't no niggas in the Republicans, so you will
it's
get
not
you
higher.
Can,
which
you
just
yes,
say,
in a
hey,
way,
yo,
you can see where that would work,
you can't
but
get
in
yo,
reality,
yo,
that
you
is
be
not
able to
gonna
get,
work.
Hey, you be able to get into the country club. Be able to get into the country club.
You
get into the country club.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
But I mean, as far as you actually getting farther up in the political realm, you are not. You know, they only gonna let you get as far as they want the token nigga to go, and then you ain't gonna get no farther.
That's true, but I mean, everybody loves a novelty. I mean, you look at this dude. He's a well-spoken, nice-looking guy. I mean, you don't think that even if he doesn't make it in the league, he's not going to be a reporter or do a special interview every now and then?
Absolutely
he's
not.
Make for,
absolutely
he's
not.
Right.
Now, he may be something in the gay community, but just every day, no, that's not going to happen.
What? You heard of Tavis Smiley?
Not going to happen.
Tavis Smiley.
They are not going to just hire him on at ESPN.
Oh, yeah?
Wait a minute.
Hold on.
Claudio, did you say Tavis Smiley is gay?
I mean, people, hey, pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Tony,
you didn't know that?
Did you just out Tavis Smiley?
Right here on CMT Firestorm, breaking news.
Hold on, what are you talking about? There's a black guy who's gay that has a job at ESPN. What are you talking about? A sports columnist.
No, what I'm saying to you is just because this man has come out and called him gay does not make him able to become a sports analyst on ESPN. If he screws up his NFL career, he ain't going to just automatically get some job because he said he was gay.
I think he. I mean, okay. Let's say this. Look at Don Lemon. Conservative, gay, makes his whole career off of those two things. Black.
Come on.
Does he not?
Wiley, I think you're the one that's living in this bubble here because you're not catching on to this. A lot of these guys that are like on the media. A lot of these black guys are gay. I don't know if you've noticed that. They're very feminized. They're very gay. I don't know if you're catching on to that. They're more likely to put somebody.
Anderson Cooper.
Yeah. But the one thing about every one of these guys is they are on there because they have already made a name for themselves in sports. Just because this guy says he's gay, he has not proven anything to anybody. And you don't just automatically become
just,
an analyst
Tony,
on
I mean,
ESPN
Tony, Tony,
just because
Tony,
you're the
Tony,
gay
it
guy.
Doesn't, Tony, it does, it, Tony, it doesn't even have to be sports, bro. Like I say, this dude is going to be everywhere. I'm telling you what.
It's not going to happen.
Like I said, look at Magic Johnson's son. That dude has never played a sport in his life, and he looks like somebody's mom. And he came out as gay, and they gave him a TV show.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I've never seen his TV show. And the only reason he got a TV show is because he's Magic Johnson's son. Had he not been Magic Johnson's son, he wouldn't be having nothing.
The only reason he got a TV show is because he's Magic Johnson's gay son. Magic Johnson got three other sons that don't got TV shows.
Okay, but what I'm saying is he didn't get it because he was gay. He got it because of Magic Johnson.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He got it because he was gay, Wiley.
Are you going to tell me that people care more that he's gay than that he's Magic Johnson's son?
Tony, yes. Have you not been watching
Pop
Culture for the last 10 years?
Come on.
But the point
would he be if he wasn't Magic Johnson's son? There's millions of gay black guys in America. They don't have television shows. If he wasn't Magic Johnson's son, he wouldn't have a show, no matter how gay he is.
Hey, look at all of Black Ink. Look at all the black.
I could almost name more gay black men on TV than straight black men.
Exactly. That's the point I'm saying. If you're a black
that's
male,
that's because they're making fun of them. You don't. Y'all are missing it.
Well, exactly.
Y'all
what
really
are
missing it.
Exactly. That's the point we're making, and that's what I was saying. So if you're a black male who's very good, if you're a straight black male that's very good at something, and you're a gay black male that's very good at just the same thing, the employer is more likely going to hire the gay black person than the straight black person.
Exactly. You are. You're sitting on a
pot of gold. Do you not understand? That is the whole white man saying, entertain me. That's what niggas have been doing for white men since they got off the first fucking boat.
Okay, so what are you disagreeing with then? If that's exactly what we're saying, then what are you disagreeing with?
What I'm saying to you is, if that is why you would take a job, then you deserve whatever ridicule you get.
They don't care.
I'll say this. If Michael Sam was just as good as Jadeveon Clowney, they would draft Michael Sam before Jadeveon Clowney.
10 times out of 10.
Are you kidding?
I think they would draft Michael Sam.
Are you kidding?
If he was just as good as Jadeveon Clowney, they would draft Michael Sam before Jadeveon Clowney. I really believe that.
Because if he's gay,
he's perceived as non-threatening.
Stuff they were saying, so, you know, that too, I could see his angle on that also.
He is more threatening as a homophobe to homophobic people than he is as a black man?
Hmm?
Yes.
What? More threatening than homophobic
people? There are more people that feel like he threatens their eternal life than they are worried about him threatening their physical life.
Tony, have you not been watching pop culture for the last 15 to 20 years, dude? Gay has been in for a while.
I'm watching real culture.
We live in the bubble, right? And we're the ones that live in the bubble, right, Mike?
No, I see the big picture. Pop culture is a subset of American culture. And I'm telling you, in American culture,
it is still homophobic.
Are you fucking kidding me? Pop culture is not American culture. The baby boom generation is the largest group of Americans in the United States, and they can give a fuck about
crazy?
Pop culture.
That's all over. That my two dads.
See, you
right,
are the
that
one that are stuck
over,
in
dude.
This
right,
bubble. You think
right,
that everybody right. sees things like 20-year-olds see things. I promise you, these 60-year-old
that's
white men don't give
for,
a fuck
Tony.
About pop culture, and they damn sure ain't going to give in to no homophobic black man.
They don't?
All right,
have,
look.
You ever, have, you heard, have you ever heard of Tyler Perry?
Exactly.
Half of America don't even know who the hell Tyler Perry is.
They don't.
You go to a 65-year-old white woman and say, "Can you tell me who Tyler Perry is?" She is going to tell you, "I have no idea."
65-year-old white women don't watch TV and don't buy things, so things aren't geared towards them. So
are
it
you
doesn't
kidding?
Matter.
Don't buy things. They are the largest group of Americans in this country.
They don't buy
the
things.
The baby boom generation is
target,
the largest
target,
group of Americans
range.
In the United States.
All right, hey,
they
let's
are the
just
largest
voting
group. They are the largest buying group. They have the most
they're
income.
Not. No, they're not.
They are the
no,
biggest
not.
Part of the 1%.
No, they're not. No, they
are. How the hell are you going to
no,
tell
not.
Me?
Because
okay,
I know.
I only teach it every day.
Main,
how are you going to tell
demographic,
me?
The main demographic that you look for is ages 18 through 35. That's
oh, my God. All right, let's bring in Steve here, man. We're going to bring you back on in 1 second, Wiley. Let's bring in Steve and see what he has to say. He's been waiting for a while. What's up, Steve?
What's going on? I kind of feel your angle, Clausel. There's a lot of suspect, you know, black young men on in the media today, and they seem like the ones that America has kind of taken in. Whether they
exactly.
admit they were gay or not, you know what I mean? But at the same time, I feel where Wiley's coming from, too, as far as how America, there's a lot of Americans that don't like gay people, you know what I mean? So the argument can go both ways. You can sit here and talk about gay rights and gay your bench all night. You know, that's a debate that really you really can't win. But from what we
see, but if you look at, well, my thing is, so if you look at what's happening in society, there is no debate. Did you not see how the dude from Chick-fil-A apologized after what he said? And he's the
I know he apologized.
Yeah, that dude is the most devout. Chick-fil-A is the best on Sunday, bro.
What's that sound?
I don't know. Whoever that is, please put your phone on mute. But, yeah, you know, that dude, he's the most devout Christian you can get. Chick-fil-A ain't even open on Sunday. And he apologized to the gay community.
I mean, he had
no choice. You say something about the gay community in public, and you will be ostracized by everybody and be forced to apologize. We see it every
day. Yeah, right now, yeah.
I agree with you
on that one, Mike.
Like I said, I don't know what America you guys have been watching. I've been watching the real one. I know.
Then when Cody Bryant said that word, you know what I'm saying, came out of paying out $200,000 or something like that.
Man,
he said that about
two years ago. Michael Sam is about to turn this into major money, major. I mean, like I said, we're talking about Michael Sam right now.
Michael Sam is going to get a lot more endorsements than what you people think. Because
there is a lot of,
you know, gay people that,
exactly,
you know.
He don't want to be a sponsor for that, you know. What was the name of that? I forgot that gay organization they have. He don't want to be a sponsor, though. They were saying about that, though. He's not doing it for that.
Like I said, watch when he get drafted. Watch his jersey sales. I'm telling you. You know, he's going to be on TV. Like I say, he's a well-spoken, nice-looking dude. He's going to be on TV. You know, he ain't got no dreads or gold teeth. You know, he's going to be everywhere. Wow.
Exactly. That's what they like in regards to, in the racial angle, they like to project a highly feminized black male. That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
So that's going to be to his favor.
Right. Yep. They know he's not going to say nothing off the chain or off the wall. So yeah, I understand what you're saying. He's not a threat. I totally get that.
All right, let me bring Watley back on here. Let's see what he has to say. I know he's about to explode on us. All right, put you back on hold. All right, Watley, what's good?
Now let me speak to you from a political science professor's point of view.
Real quick. You already did that.
The largest group of Americans in this country is the baby boom generation, and they are 55 and older. That is the largest group of Americans in the United States of America today, right now. Not only are they the largest group, they are the largest consumers in America. They are the largest voting set in America. Yes, they are. They are the largest voting set in America. And if you look at news right now, what is the largest, biggest, and most popular news agency in America? Fox News. Why? Because they cater to that 55 and over demographic. And they have been winning it for the last 10 years.
Let me tell you this right now. If you go, I'm at my computer right now. I just now entered in key demographics. You know what it shows is the key demographic for Fox News, and it's funny because it's the first thing that comes up. Age 24 through 54 is the key demographic for Fox
kidding
News.
Me? Fox News?
I'm looking.
24-year-olds watching Fox News.
Enter in key demographic.
They might be watching The Daily Show, but they ain't watching Fox News.
Enter in key demographic. It says it right here.
Whatever.
So I guess everybody's lying.
I guarantee you, the subset, the pop culture that you're talking about, that is a subset of the entire population. I'm telling you right now, the largest population and the one with the most power in this country is the baby boomers. They have the most power, the most buying influence, the most money, and they control things, and they are the most conservative, and they are against gay marriage. They are against lesbians. They are against homosexuality, and they are against abortion.
If they're doing all that, Tony, then how gay marriage just become legalized then? If they're the highest voting person.
Gay marriage is not something that is legalized throughout the federal government. Gay marriage is being legalized state by state. As a group, you can't do anything as long as states are doing it. And if you look at where the states that are doing it are doing it, it is the liberal states.
No, it isn't.
Name a southern state that has legalized gay marriage.
I'll give you that with gay marriage. It's the liberal states. But what I'm saying is that demographic that's 55 and older, that 55 and older, but the younger demographic is almost just as big. The younger, and included in that 55 and older, you got to think about the diversity. You got blacks, Hispanics, Asians, and stuff like that, and they are not necessarily opposed to gay marriage anymore, those demographics anymore. So you're talking about that 55 and older white demographic. You're not factoring in the 55 and older every other ethnicity's demographic, and they're not necessarily conservative views.
It's what you have to understand. It's not even just white. It's a 55 older, highly conservative demographic. And that demographic
again,
has lost the last two elections.
I'm not
going to
argue with you guys over something that I have 5 college degrees in. So you know what? 5 years from now, we will see whether you were right or whether I was right, okay?
It seems like according to Tony, he's a professor and something else. I mean, you act like we all don't have degrees, too, and shit. So we all.
No, I'm telling you that you don't have a degree in this. I have a degree in sociology and political science. Is your degree in human beings? That's what my degree in my profession is. I study human beings. I study cultures, and I study demographics.
Is
that what your degree is
in?
Because that's what my degree is in, and that's what I teach.
Mine is in psychology.
Okay, but that's what I teach. I teach demographics.
All right.
I'm gonna say this. Hold on. Wait. Demographics, but yet you don't know what the most coveted demographic is, but you teach it though, right?
Do what?
I said you teach demographics, but you don't know what the key demographic is for advertising.
I didn't say the key demographic for advertising. I said the largest group in America that controls our economy, that controls everything
consumer.
That goes on, is the
you
baby
said the
boomers.
Highest consumers. That's the key demographic. Who buys the most? And I said, no, it isn't.
It's a you're talking okay. The key demographic that buys sneakers, but the key demographic
sneakers.
That's buying houses, that's buying cars, that's spending the big money.
I
ain't talking about $50 in the grocery store. I'm talking about million-dollar houses. 25-year-olds ain't buying that.
Wiley.
You said Fox News was the largest news corporation. I said they're key
again. I'm done arguing this with you guys.
I'm done arguing this with you guys.
You are not going to tell me that you know more about this than I do.
I'll say this.
I don't
bottom line.
I got proof right here.
Argue this with you guys.
If you Google key demographic, it's the first thing that comes up.
They said Fox News is Googling younger viewers at even faster rate than this demographic. Half of Fox viewers, they say, are 68 and older, and they say Fox viewers are losing half of their young. It's an article they're talking about it, so.
It's the first thing, exactly. It's the first thing that comes up.
No, I'm saying,
so why would
Fox viewers are 68 and older.
Well,
I'm not gonna argue with you what I do for a living.
You're not arguing against
you. You can say what you want, and you can believe what you want, but I know the facts. And I guarantee you, the CEOs of America are baby boomers. The richest people in America are baby boomers. The biggest consumers are baby boomers. The most voters in America are baby boomers. Baby boomers control this country. And baby boomers are the Christian right. And I'm telling you, you can say what you want to say about Mr. Sams. He will not have the impact in this country that you think he will. He might have an impact in your subset, but he is not going to have an impact in this country.
I mean, what do you mean by impact? Like, what do you mean by impact?
What I mean by impact is he might make an impact on young people, gay people, and the NFL, but you guys are acting like everybody watches football, and they don't. 150 million people watch the Super Bowl. For that 150 million people that watch Super Bowls, 200 million went to church that morning.
Tony, you realize the Super Bowl is the most
But what
I'm
saying is, what do you mean by impact?
Right?
I mean, like, he's not going to change the whole country into being gay. I mean, I'm trying to understand.
You can go on.
I'm just saying, what do you mean
subject.
By impact? Like, all right, whatever. Let's bring it up. No, I got to bring it up, James.
Here. Devices, all
right. Hey, I'm going to bring in James here. We're still on Michael Sam here. I'm going to put you on hold. I'm bringing James.
Please.
What's good? James.
Man, what in the wide world are supposed to be arguing over, man? Look, dude, we have this thing called political correctness, you know, in this so-called country that they call the United States of America. So if anybody says anything that's put to a detriment to some type of community or whatnot, you're going to get reprimanded. You know what I'm saying? So whatever Sam does or says or anything like that, if anybody goes against him in the NFL, oh, trust me, they're going to come after him.
Hard.
It isn't like they haven't done it already before anyone publicly came out. So my thing is this. You could have all the protests and boycotts and whatever it is or whatnot, but, I mean, if he's able to play, then he's going to play. Whether sponsorships want to back out or not.
Yep.
I guess I can't get kind of to him because we were talking about, you know, saying how America proceeds. That's all that stuff was talking about, you know, baby boomers and all that type of stuff.
Well, I mean, I don't know what, you know, that thing is about the demographics, about baby boomers or not. I mean, that whole thing is about baby boomers controlling the large corporations and that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Not many young people are out there making, you know, running multi-million-dollar businesses right now. So that's one thing. But the problem is that these people that run the businesses have to listen to the consumers.
Exactly.
The ones that have the actual buying power. Sure, these businesses can survive, but for how long? They're all about money first. And if they can't get money, then they'll find ways to get it.
Yep. Simple as that. You figure a professor with 89 degrees.
Let's put a scenario here. All right. You are the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, right? And Michael Sam gets
the most likely team to take him too, by the way.
Hey, he'd have fun down here. Let's just put it that way. But he would. He'd go to Ebor. But anyway, the point I'm saying is, okay, you are Michael Sam getting drafted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You have a boyfriend. You bring your boyfriend down here with you. You're holding hands at Ybor City. You're holding hands at the International Mall. You know, pictures are taken. You're kissing your boyfriend. All right. You're dancing with your boyfriend with his shirt off. And it's all in the media, and whatnot. And if you're the owner, you're Jay Glazer of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. How would they handle that situation?
Jay Glazer already know what goes on in Tampa anyway, so it shouldn't be nothing to him.
Yeah, but his player now, an openly gay player, he's partying all wild with guys, kissing guys, holding hands with guys, and it's all on the internet.
He's partying all wild if he's with his boyfriend. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like he's caught out of some sort of orgy or something. I mean, if he just, I think you turn, like I say, you turn into Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the team of change or something like that, you know, and market it the right way and win.
No, but what I'm saying is, everything that guy's going to do is going to be videotaped, scrutinized. I mean, it's like he can't have a relationship without his stuff being out in the media. So, if you're the owner of a franchise, how do you handle that?
Isn't that where they have Pride Week at in Tampa, or is it Orlando?
They have it in St. Pete, yeah, around the Tampa area, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
they have it both. They have it both. They have one in Orlando, and they have one at Disney World, and they have one in Tampa.
Exactly. So I mean, you cross promote. Like I say, it's gonna be big business, dude. You know, no matter what.
No. But you say it's big business, but what I'm saying is, when a player like Mike Williams, for example, here in Tampa, he's rapping and he got caught doing some crazy stuff down here, you know, and people talk about they're releasing him. Whereas Michael Pham, I mean, you think he's gonna be, if he's holding hands with his boyfriend or kissing his boyfriend in public, that's not gonna show up on the national media? It is. How are they gonna handle that? How are they going to handle it?
You got to look at the media outlets. Look at who controls TMZ. Harvey Levin. What do we know about Harvey Levin? He's gay. Yeah, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. Interesting.
You never heard them talk about gay. Like, why do you think they always talk about gay stuff on there? He's gay. He's open gay.
You're talking about the guy on TV, right?
You're talking about the guy who used to be on the judge, who'd be on the court show, too, who'd be like a sideline reporter for some of the court shows.
Yeah.
That's how
he runs TMZ. He's gay, been
there. I ain't know that.
Yep.
I was going to say, you know, it's kind of off the subject we were talking about a little bit. I just saw on the ticker, they said the Saints are not going to resign Jonathan Vilma, and they plan on cutting Will Smith. Arthur and Jabari Greer.
They're not re-signing Jonathan Vilma, ironically, a few days after his comments. But
they were going to cut him anyway, though. They were going to cut him.
Yeah,
anyway.
Probably.
I mean,
yeah.
He was done. Him, Roman Harper.
And Will Smith.
All right.
Jabari Greer.
Let me bring it up, Steve,
kinda,
here.
They kind of tighten their salary cap situation, so, you know. You got to take care of Jimmy Graham.
Well, let me bring in Steve here. What's good?
What's going on? I mean, y'all still talk about the gay right. I mean, the gay football players and stuff, but you know what I mean? I think a city that he'll fit in real well is Atlanta.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that, man. I mean, Arthur Blank? Yo, first of all, the city may be, you know, pro-gay, but these owners are conservative. You got to factor that in. These owners are probably conservative.
Let me tell you something. And like I said, I'm from the Bay Area. I've been to San Francisco hundreds of times. I've been to Atlanta twice. Atlanta is the gayest place I've ever seen in my life.
Hey, go to D.C., too. I hate to say it. D.C. got some crazy stuff out there, too, my friend.
Yeah, Tampa's not too far behind, man.
I was going to say, D.C.
Go ahead.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's not, I was about to say Tampa ain't that far behind, man.
Atlanta is a cousin. I mean, everybody talk about San Francisco. When I went to Atlanta, man, it was really like I say, a gay dude would go to Atlanta. Atlanta is so gay, a gay dude would go to Atlanta and be like, damn, this is gay. You know, it's really gay. You know,
I think that's where he wants to go. I think that's where Michael Sam is like praying to go for some reason. I just have this feeling, but I don't think Arthur Blank. I don't know. I think the franchise in Atlanta, they're trying to be more marketable to the kids, things like that. So I don't know how Arthur Blank and him are going to mesh.
Kids are gay nowadays.
Let me ask you something.
Who?
I mean, I understand y'all say that he's trying to be more marketable to the kids. But do y'all know, like, people don't really go to Atlanta Falcons games, man?
You know what I mean? Like, I spent some time in the first blackout was in Atlanta, and that was my freshman year at FAMU. And 2 years, they was in the Super Bowl 2 years before that. I'm like, dang.
Well, that's a good point you brought up, though, Steve. I mean, Atlanta does have some of the worst fans, but, I mean, think about it. If they open
now,
up.
Now from Atlanta. Like,
think about all the gay community. Speaking of Tyler Perry, take it to a whole other level right here. Speaking of Tyler Perry, he lives in Atlanta, and he's got money. And then on top of that, just like the thousands of other gay black men in Atlanta that got money.
Exactly.
That will go
Atlanta
support, buy boxes, all kind of things. So,
I
think it's
but I think the Falcons, I don't know, for some reason, don't you think the Falcons are trying to change their demographic? You know, the Braves are moving their stadium out to the suburbs. I think the Falcons are trying to move their stadium out to the suburbs, too. So I think they're trying to change their fan base out there in Atlanta. So and it may be a little bit more what Watley's saying right there in a sense of they're trying to cater to a different demographic in Atlanta.
Well,
that's the vibe that I'm getting.
Well, the thing is about that stadium, though, they kind of missed the boat on that one. But
$1 million.
They were supposed to make moves on that last year, but it didn't happen. So I guess they're rethinking.
Hey Steve, it fell through because last time I was out there, I know they were talking about the way they was hyping. It seemed like they was about to pretty much the deal was pretty in place for them to get it.
Yeah, but I mean, I just went up there. I was up there Super Bowl weekend, and that's what my cousin was talking about. He's like, man, the stadium. I mean, they got to do something, but it ain't been really approved like it should. I mean, I have to look back more into it, but it ain't been going the way that they wanted to go because they're missing out on Super Bowls. They're missing the only thing they can get is the SEC championship game. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's no parking there. No parking.
It's terrible where that spot is with the
and
doors.
And right down the street. I don't know if y'all seen Snow in the Bluff, but it's right down the street from Bluff in Metropolitan and Pittsburgh. I mean, it's not really in a good area. So.
You sure not? And it's like right across, you got a Papa John's pizza place like right across the street from
so. And then they can't even handle the snow. So, for that, there's a lot of stuff that people keep talking about in the city of Atlanta as far as why they need to build a new stadium, but it looks like it ain't going in the way it should go.
And the stadium they're trying to build, that's going to be like in the outskirts of Atlanta, like in Doraville, and that's kind of further out, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe if they get Michael Sam's, in the gay community behind them, it's to rejuvenate things.
They want the people of Atlanta with their taxes to pay for that stadium, though. That's the thing, too, you know, and y'all ain't doing too good. Y'all asking us why tax money to, you know, bankroll that stadium. So, you know, that's kind of a problem.
I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into that because, you know, the city of Atlanta doesn't have a long actual city of Atlanta. We're not talking about the outskirts of the five-county area. We're not talking about that. We're talking about an actual Fulton County. City of Atlanta, there's not that many people that live there. So they're going up against a lot of things. They have to get other outside help in order to make it happen. Because it would definitely have to be in another county for them to build what they need to build to have enough land to make a safe.
And they're going to have to do something with that traffic because that traffic is something else, man.
Yeah, it is.
Right. All right, let me put Watley back on here. All right, Wadley, what's good?
The bottom line for me is very simple, and that is we are making such a huff and a puff about this gay guy, and as I've told you guys last week and I told you this week, I don't even see him making it to the NFL. So that I don't even see, and it's easy for you to talk about how good he is and how he's talented, but it's politics. All they got to do is say, look, we are not ready for this right now. That's all great and good. And then all they got to do is say he didn't have a good combine, and that's why nobody picked him. And before you know it, it's gone. You got to realize America has a very short-term memory. And, yes, it's a big story now, but this time next year, if he doesn't get drafted, nobody will even remember Michael Sam. And I'm telling you right now that as much as everybody's so up in the air and hoo-ha and rah-rah about it now, if he doesn't go in the draft, he's yesterday's news.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, I think he gets
and that's what I see happening. That's what I see happening. I see this being a big brouhaha, and what's going to happen is ain't nobody going to draft him, and he is just going to drop off the face of the earth. Or he'll get drafted late, or he'll get picked up. Everybody will make a big deal of it, and then he'll get cut. And that'll be the end of it.
I think he gets drafted.
Yeah, I think he gets drafted, too. I mean, SEC Defensive Player of the Year, I don't know about that, man. That's going to be, nah, I see him getting drafted,
but,
man.
But who do you blame if he doesn't? I mean, which team do you go to and say, why didn't you draft him? Because I guarantee you they are going to have valid reasons why they picked someone else. Look, we have certain needs on our team. We didn't need that position, so that's why we didn't draft them. How are you going to yell at them? How are you going to tell them they're wrong? So every one of them are going to have their valid excuse why they weren't the team that drafted him, and before you know it, he's gone.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I really don't. I think we're making a big deal out of it now, but I think on draft day he falls and he falls and he falls. It's just like that superstar that you thought was going to go in the first 10 and ends up going in the third round. This guy isn't even expected to go until the fourth or fifth round, and I guarantee you ain't nobody going to be sitting around wondering what happened to him the day after the draft.
Yes,
all right.
I mean, it's a lot, though. I mean, I think, you know, I think it's going to have to be, like you said, you know, how we have a fit. I think it has to be a good fit, a place, and a team that can handle all the turmoil, possible turmoil, and, you know, people maybe protesting.
First off, ain't nobody going to draft him just to draft him. I mean, you know. If
right.
he doesn't fit, he's not. If he doesn't fit the scheme, you know that team is not going to draft him. If he does, and then they are. I mean, I really think it's that simple. I mean,
where do you think he fits best, Tech? His position. What team needs him most?
Well, he fits with Seattle. He can fit with San Francisco. He can fit with Indianapolis. He can fit with Jacksonville. There's several different ball clubs. I mean, I don't know whatever team needs a defensive end that can, you know, that a left end that can maybe plug the run, do a little pass rushing, maybe use them as a situational rusher. I mean, we still have to have free agency, so you know it's kind of hard to tell. I'm just talking about teams where. You know, with his type of skill set, where he fits, that's all I'm talking about. And you know, he's that doesn't mean that he fits as in he's a long term starter. I mean, I thought this before he even comes out. You know, he's a late third to seventh round guy. He could go anywhere with that. So I'm basically just talking about where he he can go and start for Indianapolis. I mean, they don't have much talent, but, you know, he can start for them. But, he's a team with a 4-3, 3-4 hybrid, you know, like New England, you know. He's the type of player New England would like.
As much as the hype is here, it's as easy as saying he had a bad combine, and the whole NFL can ignore him.
Well, if you're asking me that, do I think that the NFL is banking on him having a bad combine so they can use that as an excuse? I don't, I can't really believe that. I don't think he has a bad combine, but he's not going to show up and run. He's not going to show up and be a 4-5 and bench 30 and have a split under a second. You know what I'm saying? And have a 42-inch vertical. He's not going to show up and do that. He's a role player. So, while he's SEC Defensive Player of the Year, you know, 9 of his sacks is coming against Florida, Arkansas State, and Vanderbilt. So, you know, people are watching out for him, and nobody's like, oh, he's so great. Before he, says he's gay, and after he's gay, it's still the same thing. So we just have to see how it works.
I mean, I don't take nothing from the man's talent. But what I'm trying to say is there is other things going on in this country that has nothing to do with football. And gay rights, women's rights, and those types of things are political issues in this country right now. And I promise you they will come into context for any team that wants to take him. That's why I say I will bet $100 that he will not go to a team in the Bible Belt. And I don't care. Any team below the Mason-Dixon will not pick up Sam. They will not do it because it will cost them more than it will benefit them.
Well, is that the reason why, or is it just because he doesn't fit? Or is it just because he doesn't fit?
Like I said, I'm not even getting into individual teams. Any team, including Atlanta. Georgia is one of the most conservative states in this country. And I promise you, the Falcons will not pick Sam. It will not happen.
I don't know about that. But, I mean, like I said, I don't know. But look, let's look at it a different perspective. We've been looking at it like if he doesn't succeed. Let's say he gets in and he gets 15 or 17 sacks his rookie year.
Not going to happen.
In fact, like I said, let's say hypothetically that he gets in and succeeds. You don't think that the fact that he's gay isn't going to boost his image even more?
But I refuse to even do that hypothetical because, for one, I don't think he's going to get in, period. For two, I don't think he's going to start like that. And for three, he ain't going to get 16 sacks.
If you're not going to answer, then excuse yourself from the question. I'll ask everybody else. Do you guys think that if he comes in and succeeds, that him being homosexual will boost his status? What do you think, Buzzell?
Yeah, it will.
Yeah.
Now there'll be friction. Now the Watley's friction will come into play because let's just say hypothetically, because people keep forgetting he was the leader of one of the best defenses in the country last year. So let's say he comes to the league and he ends up being the best player on the defense or one of the best defensive players in the league. How is that franchise going to market him? What's going to happen? That's going to be the big issue. That's where the friction I think Watley's talking about is going to come into play. If he ends up being a very good player, which is a strong possibility, then, you know, how is that franchise going to market him then?
That will be interesting because then, like I said, I don't know if an NFL franchise would want to push the gay angle if they didn't have to, you know what I mean, if they weren't forced to.
Exactly.
Because, you know, like I said, I don't know. That would be kind of sticky. You know, then I might lean towards, you know, seeing things from Mr. Watley's point of view. But other than that,
exactly.
Like I said, I don't think, you know, I mean, like I said, we'll have to see. But
I don't know, the vibe that I get from this guy from those interviews, like he's pretty confident in himself. He feels like he can make a difference in the league. I don't know. That's just the vibe that I'm getting from his. He's coming in pretty confident. I'm not saying that the rest of the players coming in as draft ain't confident, but he's not. He believes in his abilities. Let's just put it that way.
I think that's misguided. You know why? Because I really think he has this cockiness about him that he's going to come in and he's going to make everybody understand that he's still the best. And I promise you, getting in those locker rooms, getting around those reporters all the time, they are going to break him down emotionally. It's going to happen. Because as much as y'all keep thinking everybody is just going to be, we wish you the best, that is not the truth. You're going to have as many people out there saying, we don't like you here, as you have saying, we wish you good luck.
I can guarantee you this. The first person, the first fan that shows up a derogatory sign of Michael Sam and has something to do with him being homosexual is going to get kicked out of the stadium immediately.
I'm not talking about signs. I'm talking about every time he goes and has a great game.
Tony, let me finish speaking. Tony, let me finish speaking, please. The first player that says anything derogatory against him is going to get hit with a fine that's going to be so ridiculous, nobody else is going to say shit to him the rest of the season.
You're going to know what they're saying to him when they under
Tony,
that
can
towel.
I please finish talking, bro? Can I please finish, bro, please? If a reporter is going to write a bad article about him, that dude's just going to get fired outright.
No,
Suspended. Okay, like I said, did you see Kobe Bryant when he said facts to somebody last year and he didn't even say it to anybody, he just said it out loud.
Who's going to be stupid enough to call him a fag in his face?
He got fined $200,000.
You're being ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah.
You guys are being ridiculous.
What's his name from the Pacers
what
got fined a lot of money
is,
for saying? What's we call it? Got fired from the Pacers. What's the guy's name? Roy Hibbert? He got fired for saying no homo.
Yeah, right, exactly.
He got fired for that.
You guys really are missing the point. The point is he can go out there and have six. He can go out there and have six quarterback sacks, and then in the after game, every single question coming to him will be, who is your boyfriend? Do you have a boyfriend? What do you do on your time off? At that time, he's like, can we talk about football? You cannot tell those reporters what they want to report, and you cannot tell those reporters what they can and can't ask. It does not matter that he made six tackles on the quarterback. What matters to them is his personal life. And if you don't think that them reporters will get in there and every other question is, tell me something about your private life, it happens every day.
Any reporter that constantly does that is going to lose his job and going to be labeled as a homophobe.
No, he is not. Why? Because there are people that want to know that about him just as much as there are people that want to know how good he is sacking quarterbacks.
I mean, he might come out and say it once, and then after that, he's not gonna be bothered by it anymore. But look, before we go, because we gotta hurry and wrap things up, because I'm busy and calls about to be busy. I want to talk about have you guys noticed the publicity that his father's been getting over this issue?
Yeah, his father wasn't taking it too good.
Yeah, the ESPN's kind of been pushing the fact that his dad isn't really with, you know, his lifestyle.
Yeah.
And one of the things that bothered me about that is in the story, it says, you know, first he told his teammates first. I mean, it's his prerogative to do what he wants. But, I mean, to me, the way he handled it was kind of messed up. First he told his teammates first almost a year ago, and then he told his parents right before he went on national TV and did it. And he told them, like, text message. And I guess from what the dad said, unless the dad is lying, he just said the son sent him a text and said, I'm dead, and that's it. So, I mean,
number
like
two,
I said,
Mikey,
I,
just
know,
a kid. I mean, he's still young, though, Mike. He's still young.
Nah, he doesn't get along with his family, probably.
Possibly. Yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't get along with his family.
I mean, I'm thinking it would have to be for him to send, you know, to send a text saying that. You know, so I mean, like I said, I don't know. I'm just noticing that ESPN has been trying to push that angle, you know, that the dad is kind of against him, and they've interviewed him a couple of different times. And, you know, wrote a couple of different articles saying he's not supportive of his son. And I want everybody to notice that, you know, that's going to play out in the media's public eye, you know, because they have a search for it. But, all right,
I got to bring on James, and I got Matt next. Hold up. James, what's up?
Now, real quick, y'all were bringing up a good point about Atlanta, you know, compared to San Francisco and Tampa and D.C., because, man, Atlanta is just, man, fruitcake central, son. But, now, in reference to, you know, Sam's father, like, handling the whole thing, I mean, yeah, that's something when you don't even know about what's going on with your son until, you know, he's about to go public with it. I mean, it's strange that he could go in front of his teammates to tell them something personal before he could tell his own parents. So maybe they did have some type of fallout, you know, while he was in college or something like that, you know, to prevent him from, you know, coming up front with it to his dad, you know, before anybody else.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, well, I don't like the way his dad was like, he shouldn't have said that to the poor reporter. He should have been smart enough to, like, you know, catch that. He shouldn't have said what he said to the reporter, man. I mean, it's just showing the family dysfunction, which I think the media likes to glorify. So,
well, media loves
exactly.
There was definitely some cooning going on in that interview between the dad and that reporter.
Thank you. Here's some dancing going on. That's right.
A lot of shuffling and shucking and driving going on there.
Yep. All right. Well, let me bring in Matt here.
Ladies, how you doing tonight, ladies?
Hello?
What in the world?
Wrong room.
Exactly.
I just want to see who's going to be the first one to respond. I thought it was going to be Watley, but I guess he's on mute. Anyways, move on.
Watley's on, man. He's on.
Wow.
I don't think there was anything really wrong with what Michael Sam Sr. said. Really. Can any one of us sit here and say, if your son or daughter came out to you and said, hey, you know, Dad, I'm gay, I'm lesbian, you're not going to stop and be like, what? But,
of course you're going to be stopping and be like, what? So are you going to tell the reporter that?
All he did is said what he felt. What he said isn't so bad. I think we're taking it to the next level because he told a reporter. Does he need to discuss his family business? Maybe not, but really what he said isn't so bad. He just said, hey, my first reaction was like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You're gay?
Yeah.
Dude, you had a girlfriend all throughout high school and most of college. What are you talking about? Oh, that was a charade? Shit, that's crazy. That's courageous of you to do that.
It kind of goes towards what I say about the media. You know, like I say, you can't say anything wrong about gay people, else the media will blow it up, you know.
Well, it's not that you can't say anything wrong about gay people. It's that you can't use anything that's remotely derogatory. See, now, this is the problem is, there's homophobia, which people think anything that is remotely gay comment is homophobic. Homophobic
exactly,
is the fear of being around homosexuals and a fear of homosexuality, be it lesbian or gay. If I say I'm not comfortable at first and kind of perturbed about my son being gay or daughter being gay, that's not homophobic. That's confused. It's like, what? That's big news. That's out of left field. I wasn't expecting you to say that, especially given the fact that I was presented. So there's really not a whole lot wrong with what he said. Now, when Kobe Bryant said faggot to a referee, he was using it in a different context. He didn't actually mean that he was a gay homosexual man. He meant that he was being stupid. It was a retarded-ass call, and he didn't agree with it, and he was trying to say in the worst way that he disagreed with what he said. He said, man, you're being a faggot. That, we all know, be like, I call people, I'm like, man, you're being gay. You're just being gay. It doesn't mean you're actually being happy or homosexual, either one of the two versions of gay, it means that you're being stupid, which has nothing to do with being homosexual. I think someone needs to stop.
Calling us all lazy.
You need to understand that there's...
that we were being homosexual?
What?
Was coming on and saying, hello, ladies, anything to do with homophobia?
Maybe for you it was. I don't know. Maybe it was. I don't know. You buying me dinner later? I mean, shit.
I don't know about you guys, but it doesn't mean that for me.
Hey.
Oh, homo.
For a free dinner, for a filet mignon? You wouldn't do it for filet mignon?
No, as I say in Spanish, no quieres.
Look at the smile. Y'all can see the smile on this dude's face right now. You know he's lying. You give him a steak and potato, he would be like, yep.
No homo.
Hey.
Hey.
y'all crazy, boy.
James, you were thinking it. Don't even try to get in there and lie about it. You were thinking it too.
I wasn't thinking anything.
Me neither, man.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You know,
Now you sound like Money Mayweather, you ducking.
A couple of these dudes did go to FAMU, so what did they say about some of them dudes from FAMU? I've heard rumors.
Wow.
I can't go to that side of Tallahassee. They tell me to go back to FAMU. I'm like, I don't even go there.
FAMU, but it wasn't me.
Shit. I don't know, Mike. I think LaRon might have tried to corner you one
building.
Nah. And then Mike, no amigo. Tex, you remember LaRon? Mike used to be in there.
Don't even get me started, man.
Hey, Mike's roommate in college used to have so much porno in his room. You go in that room, he had porno on the TV, on the computer, porno magazine.
No shame.
Oh, yeah.
No shame.
I used to hate porn. I used to never go sit down when I go in that room because I'd be afraid I'd sit in something sticky. I'd be in that room.
Seriously. He was all chased up and stuff.
I would be in that room balancing like the Kung Fu Panda. I would not touch shit in there.
Yeah, but, LaRon hygiene too, though, man. God. That's what
why
are
you even
going
over there?
And really, that wasn't even close
to
my roommate. I was Adrian's roommate.
Hey, man, you used to go in LaRon's room, and it smelled like
S&M.
Like ass.
It smelled like S&M, didn't it?
It smelled like
leather and sweat.
Hey, yo, it smelled like ass hadn't been wiped. It smelled like
some oiled up baby chickens and a pony.
No, it smelled like Frio.
Wait, y'all killing me. Whoa.
Straight up, man.
He right.
It smelled like Fritos, crusted ass, bad bad seafood. Man.
It was the type of smell. It was the type of smell. You didn't even want to breathe in your mouth when you go in that room because it'll make your breath stink. If you agree to your mouth,
why are y'all going over there? I would have punched that guy in his face and been like, "You need to clean your shit up."
I went in there. I went in that room like once, and it was like a scene out of Silence of the Lambs when she went over Buffalo Bill's house and all that shit was going on everywhere.
I remember when Alex was gonna whoop his ass.
Yeah, I would. Like I said, after I went in there once, I would never go in that corner of the building again. I used to I didn't go past Tex and Will's room after that.
Y'all do realize that this man could be listening to this show, right?
Who cares?
I'm in California. I don't care. I'm in California.
Yeah,
I don't care.
You don't care, man.
You sure don't.
Oh, wow.
What's their email? I'm going to send them the link right now.
Hey, Will.
I'd be very country? Surprised if he has an email.
Where was country was ready to whoop his ass on, Tech?
Huh?
When was that time you said country was ready to whoop his ass?
Yeah,
for what?
I thought I remember country was about to put some hands on. Somebody about to put some hands on LeBron.
He's been
somebody
weird
about
stuff,
to put
man.
Some
that,
hands
that,
on
that,
LeBron.
That was a weird dude, man.
How did we get on this conversation? I'm lost.
we were talking about something, and I remember how Mike's room was. It was just weird. It was a weird scene going on.
Nick Show called it a sex palace or something in there when he came in. Like, man, he seen that.
I know. We switched from sports to something really crazy.
Mike, why you never told LeBron to get it together, man?
That was the time when I got out of all that stuff,
was
man. Come
scared?
Back when I just laid this. No,
was just scared. Mike was just happy LeBron didn't turn his attention on him.
Oh!
I feel
he
sorry.
He did have that
Mike.
Spray though. He did have that spray in there though, but. Yeah, I got
so
that
right, man.
I don't even want to be his roommate.
Mike,
I was supposed to be
Mike,
Adrian's roommate. You know what I'm saying?
Mike,
oh, you I guess came
about
in.
Mike.
Y'all know this
spray.
Y'all know
this spray. Y'all know
real quiet.
You remember how that room smell, man?
Oh, wow. Look at the time. Oh, my goodness.
He did have that. I mean, that little aroma, though, he has at times, though.
That aroma.
Little aroma.
You know that spray he be having? I mean, he be having stuff like that.
No.
Mike, I used to call the RA on you guys. I didn't even live in that building. I lived in B-side. I used to smell that shit. I called the RA on you guys.
Damn.
You called the RA from another building.
Hell yeah. I'd be like, man, I knew right where
Tony,
it was
you don't
from.
Understand, man. Tony, we sitting here laughing, but it's really not.
No, I'm dead serious. Like I say, Tony, like Texas room and our friend Will, their rooms were like the first two rooms on each side of the building if you would come in from my side. After I went to Mike's room one time, I would literally never go past their rooms again. I didn't want to go nowhere near their that corner of the building where that room
was. Bad, man. It was
so
bad.
You know, it's young people. He's experimenting with himself.
I don't know what can you say? He was
not wiping his
butt. I mean, not wiping his ass, his fat ass.
First time away from home, you know, maybe he just kind of didn't.
No,
I don't know what to say.
Nah, you wiped your ass everywhere.
He was a big dude, and I'm a big man too, you know, so we got to be aware of our hygiene, you know, and it's like, that dude, my goodness, you know, it's like, what the hell is going on in this room?
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Wow, you guys are off the chain with this poor man, poor thing.
That shit was offensive.
Yeah, it really was.
I know you was ready. I know you was ready to get at him too, Tex. I thought you was about to put
like
your
say,
hands
that,
on him
that,
too.
That in the massive amount of porno that was in that room was weird. It's like this is.
See,
like,
y'all don't
weird.
Make Clausel mad. He ain't even talking. That's
hey,
my story.
Clausel ain't no foot soldier.
You gotta figure. When you're a young male college student. And somebody has too much porn for you, that's a lot of porn. It's like he had an obscene amount, you know.
Wow. Mm-mm. Interesting, fam.
You when you have college roommates that can tell you what the Stiffy Award is about.
Oh.
They watch too much goddamn porn.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, like I said, those were the days. We're gonna have to tell all FAMU stories one day because we had a lot of stories from there. Like I remember one time, Mike was in the shower and they started spraying him with the. Remember that time they sprayed him with the fire extinguisher when he was in the shower?
Yeah, I got the phone right. Yeah, yeah. You know, sometimes motherfuckers be coming in, taking a shower, come in. Oh shit, why you in here? You know, I have you know we have some sweet guys in that fatty foot as well.
Hey,
so,
you know how you can tell we're getting a little older? Because when you're talking about, hey, remember that time at FAMU? And you're not like, hey, did you see that shit I put on YouTube about him, Mike, in the shower, and I sprayed his ass with the fire extinguisher?
Man,
yeah,
hey, Mike.
You know you
Mike.
Get old when you start
huh?
talking about remember that time.
Mike, you
man.
Remember busy? You remember busy girl up in the room, man?
Oh,
whoa,
no.
Slow down. Whoa, look at the time.
The funniest thing was though, I forget who called me and Eddie. Me and Eddie and Carzell was in Gibbs, and somebody called us and was like, "Yeah, they got such and such up in text room with this other chick."
Oh,
we like,
here.
Yeah, right. What's the like? And then me and Eddie rushed up to go try to see
y'all,
what they
ought to be
on.
Ashamed.
Drunk-ass chick. Man, I think she was pregnant at that
time. Y'all do realize this is a live national radio show, right?
Yeah, we got to stop now. We got to go.
y'all really getting detailed.
Yeah. They get what they deserve.
And some of these people are still alive.
I don't think they are. That's the thing. I don't think
a lot of them are. Once you leave family, you just disappear, so.
I think she was pregnant at that time and nobody knew it either. It was like she left like a month later pregnant.
Wow, yeah. Y'all are crazy.
I know she was
all right, guys, I'm out. I'll see y'all next Wednesday.
Okay, yeah, let's wrap things up. We're gonna come back in a month and get you guys with a fresh new hot show. I don't know. Now I'm looking at the combine. I don't know. We might come back post-combine, so that's more like 3 weeks. Anyway, we're going to come back with a new hot show. Going to take a little bit of hiatus, you know, spend some time with family members, do what we got to do. Thank you guys all for calling in and listening this season. When we get started back up, we're going to get some new things going, you know, new and fun things with CNT Firestorm here. Make sure you check out the CHT on sports.com. Thank everybody for coming out. Y'all have a good one. Anything else you guys want to say before we go?
Bye bye, everybody. We'll be back
later.
All right, you guys. Peace.